This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Stadio Podcast. I'm Musa Kwonga.
I'm Ryan Hun.
Ryan, how are you doing?
I am all right, thanks, man. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yes.
Hanging in there.
Hanging there. Rested, content.
Nice. We hope everyone's staying safe, staying well, wherever you are. Couple of bits of admin very quickly. There was a Sunday night writer's house.
There was.
Myself, Ian, and Clive Palmer. Originally, we were going to just we were planning on just doing it about Arsenal Newcastle. But after the Carabao Cup final yesterday, we had to start with that. So that is up on the writer's house feed now. If you haven't subscribed to writer's house since the feed split, what are you doing? Go and search for writer's house wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. No writer's house on Tuesday. So that was an early one back on Friday. You and I were on Friday's episode, so if you haven't checked that yet, go check that out. That was fun. And Stadio Watchers Players on Spotify, and go and subscribe to the Stadio newsletter, stadio.football. Scroll to the bottom, pop your email address in. I think it's all the admin.
Yes.
Today we're going to talk, should we just get straight into it today? We're going to talk about Liverpool's Carabao Cup final win. We did all this on Writers House, should we do it? But we have to do it because I want to hear your thoughts on it. We're going to do some Premier League, we're going to do some Serie A, we're going to talk about Luka Modric rolling back the years and some other bits and bobs. But let's start with the, I was going to say, do you want to start with the Super Classico? Because there's a Super Classico this weekend, Musa.
Oh my goodness, and so much football.
It was River Plate 1, Boca Juniors 1, and 5 yellow cards, no red cards. So,
as you were saying, where's the fun in that?
But yeah, let's go to Wembley. Carabao Cup final. Liverpool 1, Chelsea 0.
Liverpool 1.
Oh, sorry.
Speaking.
Sorry, my bad. Whoa.
There we go. Whoa, listen.
Whoa.
Sticklers.
Whoa. All right, Narc. Chelsea 0, Liverpool 1. A Virgil van Dijk header right at the end of extra time gave Jurgen Klopp's a nice end to Jurgen Klopp's class trip.
Yeah.
Come class on, trip.
That's a great name for a cup run in the Carabao, actually, given all the young players they've been using.
Exactly.
Yeah. Love that.
Good job it didn't go to penalties because it would have been past their bedtime, etc., all that kind of crap, you know. Hope they did their homework, blah, blah, blah.
You know, it was a funny thing. We bumped into a guy. I was heading back after the game. I watched it with Ian in the pub and some other friends. And
You did, yeah.
Yeah, we did. Flo was down there too. Flo and the gang, calling the gang. And
wow. All right. Well,
there was a guy I bumped into. It's brilliant. Guy and his dad bumped into. They're on the way to Wembley Park to celebrate with all, because they didn't get tickets. They watched in the pub. on the way to Wembley to celebrate with the rest of Liverpool fans. And this guy was like a spitting image of Conor Bradley.
No way.
Yeah, and it was so funny. The best thing was his dad joined in the joke. So he gets off the train. I'm like, oh, Conor, great game. Great game. His dad, bless him, Dad Scouser, immediately leapt in. He was like, yeah, he was fantastic, wasn't he? Up and down. Looks great. Like,
got subbed off and went straight to West London to go to the pub to watch a game.
Absolutely dead ring. Or maybe there's just a lot of like kids that look like Conor Bradley.
Maybe. But
either way, great game, Conor. Great game, Liverpool. And just a really wonderful cup victory. And the thing about the Carabao Cup is, I love how much it means to winners. Flo was saying this, Sach, about how Man City, it's not so much the same case for them because they always win it. But for the non-Man City winners of the Carabao Cup, it means a huge amount. And I love that, actually. It felt like, funnily enough, it had almost an FA Cup type energy to it in terms of, you know, seeing Liverpool, what it meant to them, what it meant to Klopp. We'll get into the game in a sec. But just in terms of what this victory means for a trajectory, this trophy's almost kind of assumed, I mean, not FA Cup proportions, nothing is, but it does feel like the kind of trophy that can be an important milestone for a squad and a club.
I just think it's turned back into like just a really fun tournament again.
It has, hasn't it? It has. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, especially if you get to the final, and you know, the last few finals have been pretty good. Mm. And been with like pretty big clubs.
Yep.
And you know, it feels like, I don't know. I wonder whether that's actually because of Manchester City. I think that their emergence into being a dominant force in English football has meant that the actual opportunities for silverware is drastically reduced.
Yeah. So maybe that's right.
So maybe that people have started to realise that the Carabao Cup or the EFL Cup, whatever the sponsor is at the time, is actually a really good opportunity to win something because, you know, it's the one that maybe Manchester City might take their eye off if they were gonna kind of slip up somewhere like they did last year.
Also, it's early in the season. The final's early in the season, so it allows you not to get distracted by it in the run-in.
Yeah, and also it's a bit of a free hit in terms of a cup final, I think, for maybe, you know, sides going for the Champions League. Because I don't think anyone's going to get fired for losing a Carabao. Well, I was going to say, maybe apart from Pochettino, to be honest. But I don't think anyone... Oh, although I did say, to be fair, sides going for the Champions League. So, no, that's a reality. They're tenth.
I know.
It's not a diss. That's the reality. I think a side going for top four or going, you know, in the Champions League or anything like that, you know, I think it would be rare to see a manager get fired after losing a Carabao Cup final. But, I mean, as a neutral, I said this from Wright's house, as a neutral, I just thought it was a really fun game to watch. And very unpredictable in the sense that, you know, from a playing point of view, we were talking about this on Wright's house on Friday about how I felt that Chelsea had a little bit more of a chance this time based on the sheer amount of injuries that Liverpool had. Chelsea, obviously, without a huge... They've got a big injury list as well, but I think... The amount of key players that Liverpool were missing, it meant that, you know, Chelsea, I thought, did have a chance. However, the opening, however long in that first half, they could not get...
Couldn't get out. Chelsea couldn't get out on the left.
No.
There was an amazing moment, actually, and it's funny. It's very rarely you'll see Ben Chilwell that exercised or concerned, right? It's very, you know, the guy's like, you know, it's a Rolls-Royce footballer.
Yeah. I love Ben Chilwell, but he needs to kind of... Stop.
He wasn't chilling
years.
Well. He was not. I mean? He was not chilling well. Let's be. Let's be honest.
Fucking hell.
You know, the calmest member of the back four. There was a bit. Bless De Sassi for this. De Sassi gets the ball because also, that's a bit harsh. Colwill was playing well and trying to be enterprising, but that Liverpool press was quite severe, and I think it caught him a step slow a couple of times. There's one bit where De Sassi basically gets the ball, plays it out really well, is waiting for the return pass, and there's like no Chelsea player even considering playing it to him and like losing their composure. And it was really striking watching that because the early stage, I was expecting Chelsea to come out, certain intensity. They had a better side, I think, a better starting 11, certainly. And a starting 11 that had shown more chemistry because Liverpool were basically like, they're a patchwork team. You know, this is the thing in terms of this victory. Absolutely. And this is not to judge Liverpool. It's more like, They were doing the best they could with a limited chemistry and the players available.
I don't think that's really a negative thing to say about Liverpool at all. When you have like an injury to Ryan Gravenberch and you have to push Harvey Elliott in midfield and then push Connor Bradley in the right wing position.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so they've really, got Joe Gomez coming in at right back. It's a combination that they've just not really had to play this year.
Totally. So I expected Chelsea to start with more enterprise than they did, but even some of the basic things, like some of the touches. And I thought, this actually just feels, it's very rarely you can say this is a nervy final, but it felt like that. It felt like the moment was huge. The occasion was enormous for Chelsea and things they would normally execute. I'm sure they'll rewatch that video and be like, I cannot believe I made that touch or that pass or didn't make that run, just because I think the scale of what they were dealing with. And, you know, there's things like the amount of money spent on players, things like the chaos at board level, and managerial level, I think they have an impact. And I think this is one of the few times you watch a team where you think you can see the cumulative effect of that in those first 20 minutes. Because that was a Chelsea team that had been given a set of instructions but was very much off-piste. How did you see it?
I just thought that Chelsea just really struggled to string 2-3 passes together for...
It's wild, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very weird. And I actually think that... Malo Gusto deserves a lot of credit because a very young player on the pitch. Remember, he's only 20 years old. Mm. He started very shaky, and I thought he actually ended up being Chelsea's best player on the day, in my opinion. Mm. I think he put in a really, really good performance in, took charge a lot in the end, defended really well, defended against Luis Diaz really well, and grew into the game to a level which I think a few of those other Chelsea players struggled to. They got better as the game went on, but I think that, I said this on Wrighty's House, that there was a weird thing happened when Liverpool started losing players or taking players off, and they were bringing on all of these. I saw Jonathan Lewis' piece when he referred to them as a load of Papa John's trophy veterans, right? and I think that was a sign of actually you were like, man, Liverpool down to their bare bones here. And it got to the point where as each minute ticked on and Chelsea didn't... Do you know what it was, actually? It reminded me a little bit of it had a similar vibe to when Chelsea went to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And Spurs were down to 9 men. And the longer that it took them to break Spurs down,
yes,
the less of a victory, or the more of a moral victory it was going to be for Spurs, whatever the result was. And I think it was a similar thing in this game where the longer that game went on and the longer that Chelsea went without scoring against that Liverpool lineup, it kind of didn't matter. It got to a point where it actually didn't matter if Chelsea had won the game or not. It would have been like a spiritual, moral victory for Liverpool because of the players that they had out on the pitch. But actually, that emotional momentum started to take over.
It did, didn't it? Yeah,
it really, really did. And few clubs can harness this like Liverpool, especially like Klopp's Liverpool. And the Klopp is a master at doing this. And you know, we've talked about this however many times on Stadio, but it just felt like you saw, you know, two young sides. You know, Chelsea's starting 11 was younger than Liverpool's finishing 11 was younger than Chelsea's. But you just saw how complete belief and understanding and, joined up thinking, let's say, in one side and a load of just chaos in the other, really. Not chaos, but you know what I mean? Just very kind of a side that Chelsea looked very much like a side that had been expensively assembled. Very recently, and not really gelled to the level that we would have hoped they would have by now, despite the occasional very impressive performance that we've talked about, you know, like Villa away, etc.
Chelsea, that's so well put, because I think Chelsea, even in this game, we saw patches of like glorious football from Chelsea. I think the disallowed goal, goal from Sterling, real shame that was, just in terms for Chelsea, it was a real shame. Some of the playing out for the back down the right flank. Credit to Gusto for that too. Some of his build-up was outstanding. Cole Palmer dropped off really well. Some of the Gusto-Cole Palmer link-up stuff was really, really great.
Cole Palmer should have scored.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was funny. Ian was saying, you know, he should have... That one chance in the first half when he should have gone high. You see it again, and that's one of the ones you just rip. And the thing is, he hit it at the kind of waist height. Great save from Kelleher.
Unbelievable. Kelleher was great, by the way.
He was excellent. His positioning, his movement... The save from Gallagher, second half, that Gallagher again should have scored.
So good, yeah.
You know, so you really think Chelsea created some really tremendous openings. So the XG were like 2.3 to like 1.8.
Yeah, they had the better chances, yeah. But this, has been their thing all season, just underperforming their XG totals.
Yeah, and that's a composure element. That's, I don't know if it's necessarily youth. I don't know where the pressure's coming from, but it's there because they're missing very presentable opportunities. But all that being said, Liverpool just finding resilience all over the field, and Virgil van Dijk being the epitome of that.
Mm. And also, shout out to Ouattara Endo, who
played about six different midfields in two hours.
But I think he's been quietly impressive.
Yeah, he has.
Underappreciated, maybe because it was a bit of a, oh, this is maybe from a Premier League midfield signing point of view, a little bit underwhelming. We watched a lot of him at Stuttgart. He's a great player, great professional, and very, very handy. And I think this is a game where where there were few people on the pitch with, you know, the kind of clear-headed responsibility, you know. Van Dijk was one of them. I think Endo was the other for Liverpool. And I think, to be honest, despite Chelsea having the better chances, the Chelsea equivalent, Gallagher, Chilwell, I don't think, or even Raheem Sterling, even though he was taken off just after the hour mark, I don't think they stepped up to the level that the Liverpool senior players did.
No, they didn't control the spaces they were allocated. They really didn't, not to the same extent.
Yeah. I think Chilwell getting involved from Conor Bradley early on and then having a little pop of someone else later on in the game, I just think I was a bit like, you're the captain here. You don't really need to get involved in this nonsense, actually. And I think that was, maybe I'm just playing kind of amateur psychologist, but I think that was a little bit of a glimpse into how much Chelsea knew was at stake here for them. You know, it wasn't a calm, level-headed.
It felt important, didn't it? That's the thing. Yeah. This final felt really, it had a sense of jeopardy around it. Mm. Like it was, the way the conversation was discussed, because, you know, for Chelsea, you know, obviously in the league, they've been struggling. So this was a moment for them. This would have got them into the Europa Conference League.
Which ironically could have probably been a bad thing for them in terms of, because it would have made them...
Just the volume of games.
To UEFA's financial fair play and sustainability rules.
Oh, good
as well.
Point. Yep.
While the prize money just isn't a huge amount, it wouldn't have really helped them. So, yeah, I mean, from a Liverpool point of view, Klopp looked really emotional afterwards, and I think I could kind of get it. It felt like a very emotional win for them, and I'm just really happy that he's got at least one trophy to finish off the season with.
You look at them in the league as well now. I mean, like, you know, top as they are.
Yeah.
It's, look, a lot of people are like, oh, City going to go on their run and win the league. No, they're not, actually. They're really not. Like,
well, City have to get to Anfield.
26 games out of 30. Ryan, there's 12 games to go.
Yeah.
City don't have the best goal difference. They don't have the second best goal difference. Like, why are people just handing it? Why are they doing the coronation now? There is so much football still to be played. And against teams that are playing and performing at an elite level.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool hosting City and Arsenal going to City are the two gigantic games
this
season.
The
swing that could take place with those two games alone is massive.
Yeah, because Liverpool are not clowns at home, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
And Arsenal, especially, are not clowns on the road.
And also, I think few sides could go up against that Liverpool side. If that, like, by then, if they have a load of players back, Anfield is going to be... I would take a guess at saying that Anfield will be one of the loudest it's been since Klopp's been there for that game.
Listen, I'd want absolutely no parts of that as a title chasing team. No parts of it.
No. Oh, actually, boss, I've got a bit of a knock.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Oh, gosh.
Got a really tight calf, actually. I'm not sure if I'll be able to do that one.
Oh, yes. I've splintered a toenail, boss.
I'll be like succumb to the wrath of Roy Keane. He's got a calf problem in the biggest game of the season. Biggest game of the season. He's got a calf problem. Unbelievable.
Congratulations, Liverpool, first of all. Commiserations, Chelsea. But again, some encouraging performances within that team and stuff to draw from.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on, I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? you take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit jiffylube.com.
All right, man, we're just following the Wright's House running order here. It's like Taylor Swift does Taylor's version. This is just Ryan's version. One for me. Ryan and Moose's versions. Can we talk about Arsenal and the Castle? Because I think this was quite a seismic performance from Arsenal and a seismic result as well. Although I did joke, but I was in the Wright's House group about how much that Newcastle goal annoyed me. Because I really just don't think they deserved a goal. That performance deserved a clean sheet with my Arsenal head on.
Yes. And that's fair as well. Also for the goal difference that Arsenal are trying to build. It was a slight annoyance, I would say. Not a huge deal. But those
great header, though.
It was great, a great overlapping run from Dan Byrne.
Yeah.
Local lad Dan Byrne, great overlapping run.
He used his full name, he's the local lad Dan Byrne. All right, so what did you think of the game? As a neutral,
Arsenal was spectacular. Spectacular. The intensity they
began.
The intensity they began with, utterly relentless. And what was impressive, I think, was even though there was a slight dip after half time, they raised it again.
They had that chance right after half time, didn't they, to go 3-0 up?
Oh, the Havertz chance. Yeah. I was talking to a friend, Arsenal supporter, and he said, "What do you think of the game?" And I said, "Well, I think they're superb. I think, you know, it should be 4-0 at this point." And they took it to that. And I think it's funny, obviously, you know, the tactical plans he suggested came into being. Havertz moved into the 9 spot and Jorginho into the midfield.
I
suggested.
Just saying, man.
And dare I say it, Arsenal switching wings.
Mikel, I am available. I don't want to be doing Arsenal's podcast forever.
Arsenal's wingers switching flanks, dare I say it, for the crucial second. Martinelli going right to left. Yes, you saw it. Everyone saw it. Martinelli cutting right to left to square for Havertz to get the second. Just the movement of Arsenal, the intensity, the pressing. Declan Rice, again, just doing what Declan Rice does.
It's just amazing, man.
Yeah. And also like Saka's goal productivity. I must say this, like we knew that Saka was a chance machine in terms of the creativity, but the one thing that's really struck me and surprised me in a pleasant way is just his goal output. It's just absolutely amazing how prolific he is becoming. It's really, really striking. I mean, he scored half his Premier League goals in the last 4 or 5 games?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. Becoming a consistent goal scorer. So really impressed by Arsenal. Newcastle, strangely passive. Now, sometimes when you see games like this where Arsenal are so good, you think, maybe it's because the opposition are just being overwhelmed, but I think it was a bit of both. I think it was not only overwhelmed by the quality of Arsenal, but also just unable to play out or be decisive. How did you see it?
I just think that back four looked like they just couldn't hang with Arsenal's front 4 or 5 at all.
Not one
like bit. Trippier playing dropping a bit deeper for the second goal, I think it was Trippier, but dropping a bit deeper, playing everyone off onside, and just looking a little bit kind of all over the place. The ferocity and intensity that Arsenal kind of came out of the blocks with was really encouraging, and I think definitely a response to the Porto game.
Yeah,
and also I think it was a bit of a dress rehearsal for the Porto home leg. Because this is exactly the blueprint that I think Arsenal should play against Porto.
That lineup is unbelievable.
I think that if you just kind of the good thing was that the goal came when it did. Like Ian said, I think if it goes on another 5 minutes or so and Arsenal don't score it, then starts being one of those things where it's like, oh, okay, is this going to get 0-0 at half time? Is this going to be 0-0 in the 70th minute? Are we going to like lose on the counter attack? But I just think Arsenal was so superior in every part of the pitch that it was one of the most complete performances I can remember from an Arsenal side. Honestly, without sounding like hyperbolic, it felt like one of the most complete performances that I've seen from an Arsenal side since, you know, those peak Wenger teams.
If it had ended 4-0, I would have put it in that category. I just think
the
classic Arsenal to dominate from start to finish and give nobody a sniff.
Yeah.
You know, actually, a couple of times I've watched Arsenal recently, I've been thinking about that 4-0 against West Ham that I always talk about, that I'm obsessed with, the 4-0 at Highbury back in the late 90s. And it felt along those lines at certain points watching this game. Just the command. And look, you know, this is a team...
Sorry to cut in, but I think it's because Arsenal are resembling those... They're honestly resembling, in terms of profile...
Yeah.
Like an evolution of the Invincibles, because they have the physicality that they lacked in the last decade.
Mm.
So they have that combination on that balance of physicality and technicality, which I think they haven't had in that to that degree for as long as I can remember.
Love
there's
that.
There's some big dudes in that team.
And there's Timber still to come back. Timber's coming back from injury as well at some point.
The midfield is big, apart from Jorginho. Yep. You know, there's some big guys. That back four is, you know, it's four centre backs essentially.
Yeah. And Tomiyasu off the bench. Oh God.
Like, that's the thing as well. Arsenal haven't had Tomiyasu for ages.
They've got
these people coming back as well for the final running of the season, which is at the perfect time because it's almost at the inverse of last year.
Mm.
You know, Arsenal exploded out of the blocks last year. Never really controlling games though, and just like ran out of steam. Again, didn't bottle it. Just didn't have the depth, lost players, ran out of legs. And this season it seems to be the other way around, where they started with a real focus on control and then started to gradually open up and be more expansive. And I think that's kind of what Man City have done for years.
Absolutely, yeah.
So yeah, we'll see, man. I think it's a good run of games until the international break. And then I think if Arsenal can tickle all of those off with wins, they're in a really good position. But Man City winning against Bournemouth on the weekend as well, being Bournemouth 1-0. Bournemouth are really good though, I thought.
Yeah, really good.
Really, really good. However, like, and we'd mentioned him on Wright's House, but John Stones, man, with just one of the single greatest performances of the season.
Wow, big shout.
Dude, but in the guy was everywhere. Like, in the
but I respect it because in the context of his season too,
yeah,
with the injury as well, the way that City players have come back in after injury and just resumed dominance.
This was a basketball game. Like, he would have ended up with like a quadruple double.
Yes.
Not even like a triple double. He would have had like, it'd have been points, assists, rebounds. Actually, do you know what? I'm going to say quintuple double.
He is a truly amazing player, John Stones. You have to go back quite a way to think of that profile of player, actually.
I mean, I know this is going to like really, you know, sound like sacrilege to a lot of people, but I think he's I think he's the closest thing that England have produced to Beckenbauer in my lifetime. Yeah.
He is. Oh, you're going to say that. That's so funny.
Yeah.
We should do a podcast.
We should actually. Yeah. I don't know though. I think you're a bit too woke for me.
Yes, hey, Moussa, outstanding.
No, you fuck off. Anyway, so City, sorry, John Stones, yes.
No, so Stones outstanding, City keeping pace. Really good win for Villa over Nottingham Forest at home, I know. But the 4-2 win got them a bit of breathing space ahead of United, who were beaten by Fulham at Old Trafford.
Do you want to talk about this?
Not particularly.
Huge
congratulations to Fulham for executing the game plan. They set the tone. They took the lead through Bassey thrashing at top corner, his first goal for Fulham. And I loved the break by Traore, and then, well, I didn't love it, but as a neutral, I loved it. The break by Traore and the late winner from Iwobi. Great finish. I love these finishes, which are kind of cut back across. It's such a...
I just love seeing Alex Iwobi playing well.
Yeah. I think I love about Fulham is you look at that lineup and you see the players who found their place. They've really found that, like Pereira, for example. There's players in that lineup, Pereira and Iwobi in particular, who were kind of searching for the right fit.
Mm.
And Iwobi found something of that at Everton, for sure. But Pereira as well at United didn't quite work out. Didn't work out when we went back to Brazil entirely. You know, decent run there, but it didn't quite stick. And it's just really great to see the quality of the coaching from Marco Silva, where you've got players who are absolutely playing that potential out. And a huge win for Fulham.
Massive and one of win, like, yeah.
One of just several impressive wins for them this year. They're in 12th, like, laughing. It's just, it's great. It's just, it's a under, you know, it's under sort of an underappreciated season from Fulham. Just really, really fine coaching. Players performing to their best. And turning over United at home, who were disappointing. Like, there's no real redemption in that performance. And I think the league table now, you look at it, it feels kind of fair. They're sixth, but 8 points off Villa. That's kind of right, I think. It's kind of, you know, can't complain with that.
Yeah, I mean, they'd been on this, like, good run, but they did. They had one of these at the beginning of the not too long ago. Do you remember when they were technically the most informed side in the Premier League?
Yeah.
And there was that wild game at Molineux and they beat West Ham at home, who were dreadful. Beat Villa away, which was the real kind of like, whoa. And then beat Luton away.
They have that thing over Villa. They got that sort of voodoo over Villa. I can't work out what that is, yeah. But anyway.
Villa voodoo. That sounds like an old kind of post-punk tune.
It does.
like a really underground. They only did a 45. They did 145, this band. They were out of like...
Somewhere like a Northern Soul EP or something.
Yeah, they were a Birmingham post-punk band. Got the Villa Voodoo.
That is a great name for a band, actually. Yeah, yeah.
It's the derby next. At the Etihad. How, on a scale of 1 to get me the fuck out of here, how much are you looking forward to this music?
I'm numb to it, Ryan.
So, do you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if Man United like snuck a point there, because it'd just be the most like. I think Manchester United are on this quest this season to just perplex everyone.
These disruptive performances. I think you're right, because there's quality. There's enough quality in that United front line. On specific days to just go at anybody. And I think the thing about a derby, and this is not saying they only get up for big matches, it's not, it's more complex than that, but I do think that the derby, the form of Hoyland, I just think it's not one of those games where you think, oh, they're going to get steamrolled. It really
I think I said this for like the last few derbies in a row, but I think it'll either be like Manchester United could nick it, or it could be like, it could legit be like 7-0.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not sure if Hoyland will be back in time for this. It's a shame, but which is a big loss. But I think, yeah, like, I don't think it's going to be a walkover. I don't think that.
I mean, as a neutral, I'm very, very hyped for that game.
The optimism.
Look at you go. Look at him trying to talk himself into believing.
No, not.
You
it's
are,
been so
you?
Long.
You're trying
it's
to talk so yourself long. Into believing. Any other Premier League stuff you want to shout out from the weekend?
No, there is not.
We talked about this on Rice House, so apologies for repeating, but shouts to Ollie Glasner, 3-0 win in his first game as Palace manager.
Yes, actually.
Gave a lot of credit to Roy Hodgson and his staff who set them up. Brighton won, Everton won, 95th minute for winner, equaliser from Lewis Dunk off another Pascal Gross assist. Everton were quite good though, actually, in this game. It was a good point for Everton, I think, even though Brighton were down to 10 men. A point away at Brighton is never a bad result, really. Wolves beating Sheffield United 1-0 on Sunday. Sarabia with another goal for Wolves. But yeah, should we take a quick break and then go to the continent?
Let's do it.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app. This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
All right, man. So we said on the last show we were going to talk about Atalanta a little bit, but I think we're actually going to hold that for Thursday but let's talk about Serie A first and start with them. 1-1 draw at San Siro against Milan, and they're going back to San Siro on Wednesday to face Inter. But Rafael Leao opened the scoring early on, a lovely, lovely goal, and Koop Miners with a penalty just before half time. Milan were good, man. I think they probably should have nicked it. They had a load of chances. Like we mentioned, Atalanta are going to go to Inter on Wednesday. So we'll talk a little bit more about this on Thursday, because there's a really interesting race for that final Champions League spot going on. Atalanta are on 46 points. Bologna, who won again on the weekend, are on 48 points in fourth place. But Atalanta have been like quietly kind of creeping up the league this season.
Like the rebuild they've had to do as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they've obviously been without Ademola Lookman for a little bit. Who went to AFCON, and they've been ticking over. I think it was Bologna, Atalanta and Inter were the most informed sides in Serie A, and they were kind of hanging pace with Inter in terms of like wins and stuff, and they've crept slowly back up the league, especially with Napoli falling off a little bit this season, Roma kind of being a little bit Lazio dropping off a bit as well, and Fiorentina, who actually were on a bit of a tear,
Revert to the mean, but go back to
But also, because you've got Juve now back in the mix after a few years of looking like will they, won't they? It's Serie A, that kind of like top 6-7 is really, really fun. And Thiago Motta, we talked about him a load this season, but Thiago Motta, the job he's doing at Bologna is
incredible.
It's absolutely
and the football they're playing
incredible.
Too is next level.
Yeah. So good. Dusan Vlahovic.
Yes, scoring important goals, scoring big goals. So Juventus being Frosinone 3-2, he gets a couple in this match and they win with the last kick of the game.
Yeah. There's a lot of late goals in Serie A this weekend.
Yeah, there were. Well, look, big late goals, maybe that's big late goals by big teams, maybe. That's a sort of slight trend we can throw in there.
Do you want big late goals by big teams? Then come watch Serie A.
They needed that late goal because Inter had beaten Lecce 4-0 again. Inter just different level. Even look at the goal difference, plus 51. Juventus goal difference, plus 22.
Did you see Lautaro Martinez? Because he got his 100th Serie A goal
in no time at all. He scored. So I had a look at this. He scored 101 goals now in Serie A in 196 games. That is an outstanding record. Like. Total respect. He's been brilliant this year in Serie A for Inter. And that league, I mean, obviously Napoli fell off a cliff after that incredible season. Mm-hmm. And even, we said this before, even though like Napoli's place is not always naturally at the top of the table, they are below par this year.
Massively. Yeah.
Drew 1-1 at Cagliari, disappointing. But that's allowed teams like Atalanta to get back into the mix. And the Atalanta rebuild, I will just say, the reason...
That was a 96th minute equaliser as well, by the way, it's worth pointing out.
Wild.
Osimhen scoring for Napoli.
The reason that's so impressive, if you look at Atalanta, they bought to Catalero. That was a difficult signing. It didn't work out immediately. You have Zapata's gone. Gomez is off. Obviously, Ilicic. So the architects of the last great Atalanta side, the core of it, they're not there anymore.
I have a kind of feeling, I have a theory though about why their resurgence has happened this season.
Okay.
It's because they signed Seiya Kolasinac.
I knew. No,
you fucking did it. Don't lie to me.
I knew. And the moment you said that, the moment I looked, I was like, what is he? And I thought, he's got to mention this.
What now, Ryan? Musa gives me this look, everyone. You won't know this, but sometimes when he knows that something's coming, but he's like, I know you're going to do something, but I can't quite picture what it's going to be yet. He gives
it's
me
like,
this
what
look.
Have you done? Yeah, exactly. It's like, what? Serie A again, proving outstanding value.
Do you know what else was outstanding value? Luka Modric's finish. Let's talk about this. Real Madrid 1, Sevilla 0.
Plenty of chances for both teams. But the Luka Modric winner with 10 minutes to go, they were like, rolling back the years. I'm like, he's not rolling back the years. He's just Modric. He's just doing what he does. This is him. He'll be doing this at 60 if he's given the chance. The Modric first touch, if you get a chance to watch the highlights of the winner that he gets against Sevilla 10 minutes from the end, oh my God. Ball drops him outside the box. And the first touch is like also a dribble. Mm. Oh my God. Like only Modric does this. The first touch is a dribble that also takes out the man and then he bends it into the corner and the goal is like 20% better because it goes in off the post. I mean...
we all know that that's the rule. We don't make up.
Witness the fitness. Unbelievable. So great win for Real. They've been a bit wobbly actually in the last couple of games. They needed that.
Without Jude Bellingham as well, right?
Yeah, they needed that to get back in the mix. They were in the mix, but they need that to get back, you know.
It's because Tony Rudiger's back, man.
Yeah,
everything is going to be fine.
And there's maybe a theme of like, you know, there's, I was talking about big late goals with big teams. So you had them getting that late one. Mm. That got them back in winning ways. You had, obviously, Juventus. They'd, I think, been four games without a win. But then obviously Bayern have been on that slide, the three-game slide. So let's bounce the Bundesliga.
Yeah, can do. Bayern, I mean, do you want to shout out quickly Barcelona beating Getafe 4-0. Almeria's late draw against, Almeria's draw against Atleti. Mm. And Betis beating Athletic Club 3-1, which is a great result for Betis. Athletic were
really
not good though.
No. Good.
But let's go to the Bundesliga. Bayern against Leipzig.
Bayern taking it very late. Two goals from Kane. Two good finishes. The last one really, really sweet with almost the last kick. And they really needed this because earlier, Leverkusen had beaten Mainz 2-1.
Beaten. Verbitten um den Schuldigung.
There he is. So Bayern beating RB Leipzig 2-1 at home. Really good win for them. Take the lead through Kane. Good finish. Sesko scores, having missed a presentable chance before that.
And a couple more.
Yeah, that's right. And then Bayern coming in with the late winner from Kane. Lovely finish from left to right. And my God, they needed that. Slightly muted crowd when Kane scored, but I think that's just because they're a bit... Maybe there's a bit of despondency at Bayern just because of the brilliance of Leverkusen. Like in a different season, I think
Bayern have got more points this season than they had at this stage last season.
Leverkusen are lights out brilliant. This is the thing. It's, you know, Bayern in crisis narrative, which they are by their standards, yes, but also let's also factor in Leverkusen lights out.
I mean, Leverkusen are on an all-time season. I don't think any German side has gone this far into a season without being unbeaten in any competition.
It's 33 games unbeaten in the league, I think. So including the last season, I think it's 33 games unbeaten, which is absolutely wild, yeah. You should talk about the Xhaka goal and celebration because you flagged it in the group first of all.
He scores this unbelievable goal right early on. You all would have seen this by now. I don't know why I'm telling you this. Anyone who listens to Stadio would have had this, I assume, on their feeds at some point. Just basically smashes it over the keeper.
It's unbelievable finish.
Yeah.
It's not even a finish, is it? It's a drive. Rips.
And then he pulls his hamstring. Kevin Hatchard, bless him, on comms, got absolutely sold. As did the entire Leverkusen bench. Xavi Alonso and the technical staff, they're all just like, oh shit, do we need to make a sub? Do we need to make a sub? Anyway, Xhaka then obviously starts gradually... It's a wind-up.
The city walk starts the Monty Python city walk, doesn't he?
And Xavi Alonso's face is incredible because he's like, oh, no, he's fine. And his assistant, or the kind of physio, is like, oh, you know when you play a prank on like a granddad or an uncle or something like that, and everyone finds it funny, and it was just a little bit like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Do you know what's so funny about Xavi Alonso's face? Xavi Alonso's face was like, oh no, that is just the kind of thing that got pulled back in our days, and I can't believe that still got me. You can see his face like, oh my God.
Oh, you got me, you got
it's
me.
Almost
got,
like, it's almost like, yes, you pesky kids, how am I still falling for this?
He's just like, Xabi Alonso is just like, this season is so good, we're not going to lose a game. Our key players are faking injuries after scoring in the third minute. Just like, I, do you know what would have been amazing? Like, it would have been great if Xabi Alonso just sat down and lit a cigar. Honestly.
It's so cool.
It's just, it is kind of wild, right? Although, it was short-lived. 5 minutes later, Mainz get back into it. But then Robert Andrić with the winner. 20-odd minutes from time was enough for Leverkusen. Mainz finished the game with 10 men and another win for Leverkusen. They've got Köln next in the derby, which will be fun. Stuttgart drew with Köln and Dortmund lost at home to Hoffenheim, which was just such a bad result for Dortmund, man. Like, they started the game very poorly, conceded early on. Sloppy defending cost them, I think. But
such a disappointing season. Very mid. Mid.
Any other notable results? Oh, Werder Bremen drew with Darmstadt, which is quite a disappointing result for Werder Bremen, who have been on a bit of a tear this season. Probably overperforming what people would have thought they were, but that win from off Hoffenheim takes them above Werder on goal difference. But the pair of them are just 4 points off European spot.
Midsection is really interesting in the Bundesliga. Heidenheim, really impressive to be up in 10th. They had a great draw against... great draw against Union. Well, great draw, good draw, because Union aren't their former selves. A far better result, obviously, that for Heidenheim than for Union.
Union hosts Dortmund next.
Still in a little bit of trouble.
That's four games undefeated for Union, though, which I think...
Yeah, that's handy. No, that's really handy. Yeah. No, for sure, for sure.
They're 8 points clear of the relegation playoff as well.
Whenever I go through the airport in Berlin... It's quite poignant to see the Champions League merch still there.
Oh yeah, I saw it the other day.
And it's quite nice. I might even pick one up because it's going to be gone obviously end of the season. So I might just grab something for as a memento.
Flip it all on Kleinanzeigen.
Oh, can I say as well, Gladbach with the super weird season. Like beating Bochum 5-2. And you know,
that's their first win for a while as well.
It's strange. But they have... This period of like not having wins, but the teams they beat are like big teams, don't win for ages, and then like, oh, you've got to beat a rival, a relegation rival, a potential relegation rival, and just blow them away.
Well, that's literally, they came back after the break, beat Stuttgart 3-1, and then haven't won a game since.
So weird. I would ask Gladbach fans to explain it, only I know they can't. So all my sympathies there.
Just very quickly, can we go to the best league in the world?
Oh my God, yeah, that result. Oh my God, that's good for that.
Pauli. So St. Pauli beating Holstein Kiel 4-3 to extend their lead at the top of the Zweite to 6 points. Steffen Baumgart in his first game got a win for HSV, which meant that they closed the gap on Holstein Kiel to just a point, which is massive for them. So ironically, St. Pauli doing HSV a favour. But
11 games to go, all very interesting.
Any other stuff you want to shout out from the weekend?
No, I think I'm all good.
Yeah?
Yep. Nothing further? No hot takes? No hot takes.
No hot takes?
None.
Nothing at all?
Nothing at all.
You want to talk about Gonzalo Ramos's 97th minute penalty for PSG to save a point against Rennes?
And Mbappe being subbed off? No, I don't want to talk about it. Neither does he.
I mean,
you're going to get me in trouble. The more I talk, the more takes happen. No one needs that from me.
We should do one episode of Stadio where it's just you uninterrupted.
Take after take. Like a comedy special, only with no jokes.
We do the usual intro and it's just like, hi Ryan, how are you doing? And I'm just like, yeah, I'm all right, man. Thanks. How are you? And then that's it for the rest. You never hear me again for the rest of the
just
hour.
Just go in.
We'll do it on your birthday.
Oh, actually, no further takes. Just to say, it was really lovely hanging out with the Writers' House gang this weekend. You know, the really nice thing about obviously coming to London and doing the podcast is get to catch up at games, whether watching them on a screen in a pub somewhere or at a match. So that was really lovely. But other than that, no hot football takes. I think the rest of football's been pretty sedate, apart from that big final, a couple of late winners.
Couple of late winners. But yeah, all right. Well, let's roll then.
Let's bounce.
Yeah, we hope everyone's staying safe, staying well. Don't forget to check Righty's House. Don't forget to check Counterpress as well. And check the Stadio Outros playlist on Spotify. Speaking of which, playing out on one from the great 3024 label.
Oh.
Run by the great man Martin. A track called End of a Line or Part of a Circle by Tristan Arp. Anything you would like to add? We saw Kwong.
Nothing further.
All right, everyone. Much love. Have a great week. We'll be back with you on Thursday.
See you then.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.